Even when I yell at home, they tell me they can't hear me. You think that's true? I think they have selective hearing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, good evening. Amen. Tonight, if you haven't been here, the few before we had all the breaks and everything, and Pastor preached last week, I've been doing a series on prayer called Is There a Ladder in Your House? Well, I'm going to continue that series next week, okay? Because I want everybody to catch what we're talking about, and we're going to be talking about how to pray for an hour a day, amen? Because that's important. It's important, you know, some of the great men of God and the way they pray, there's different ways to pray. And people go, well, how can you pray an hour a day? Well, you need to show up next Sunday night. And you can see how important it is. We ought to be praying more than that. Don't you think so? Amen. Praise God. But tonight, I felt this, that I want to talk about a sound mind tonight. Amen? You know, why would we talk about our mind anyhow? Well, for one reason is we all have one, right? God gave us all a mind, and he's given us clear instructions what to do with that mind and what to think in that mind. But we're gonna get into some things about a sound mind, because the world is getting a little bit crazy right now. There's a lot of fear going on. There's a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety. And so we're gonna go over a few things. Now, let me pray, all right? Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you tonight, and I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. You are the revelator, and I pray that you will reveal whatever it is each one of us need tonight, that we will be imparted that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I wrote this down. Everybody has to become skillful at dealing with their thought life. And a lot of times, we're not paying attention to our thought life. You know, when you think of a skilled person, think of maybe a professional ball player. They work on their skill. I'll just say basketball. They work on their dribbling. They work on their shooting. They work on their feet. They work on their skill. Maybe it's a doctor or a nurse. People work on their skill. But we also need to be skillful in the Word of God. Amen? And so we need to become skillful at dealing with our thought life. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. He's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And all the blessings of God belong to us. Health, healing, prosperity, peace, joy, victory. They were given to us freely. We don't have to work hard for them. We just have to receive them by faith. Amen? It all belongs to us. But we cannot leave out something that is so vital that belongs to us as well. And that is a sound mind. Not a confused mind, but a sound mind. You know, a sound mind is a mind of clarity, a mind that is self-discipline, a mind that can comprehend things, a sound mind. And it is important to our walk in victory that we have a sound mind. Amen? It is important to our walk in receiving the promises of God that we have a sound mind. And so we're gonna talk a little bit about that tonight. That's part of our inheritance, just like the other promises of God. And so I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you have your phones or your Bibles, or you can just look at it up here, I guess. You know, that's the lazy way, I guess. We need a one night just have a sword drill and see who can find the scriptures the quickest. Anybody know what a sword drill is? Who doesn't know what a sword drill is? A few people don't know. It's like you throw out a scripture and the fastest one to find it, you know? The sword drill, the sword is the word. You get it, guys? Anyhow. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, we quote the scripture all the time. You know, God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has given us a spirit of power, but we focus on the fear part. God has not given us a spirit of fear. But we don't focus on the sound mind that he's given us, the mind of clarity, the self-disciplined mind. See, God is not the author of confusion. In the New Living Translation, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, of love, and self-discipline." Amen? That's one of the definitions of a sound mind. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. A sound mind isn't a crazy mind. It isn't a fearful mind. It isn't a mind that's depressed. It isn't a mind that has anxiety. It isn't a mind that has fear. Amen? A sound mind has been redeemed. It has been rescued by God. Amen? Our minds have been. And so in verse 8, Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. I know I didn't send them to you nor to tie. Sorry, just kind of came out like a bullet. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In other words, God is saying, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And it's real important that we begin to think like God all the time. All the time. Having a consciousness, thinking about God, whether it's, you know, going to the grocery store or, I don't know, you know, sometimes you can go to the grocery store. How many of you have ever prayed in a grocery store that you'll find great deals? You know what I mean? Or just, you know, you'll find what you're looking for. Sometimes, you know, you go to three stores, and then finally by the third store, you go, "Oh, Lord, please let it be here," when you should have prayed at the first store, right? And stuff. But God's ways are higher than our ways. And many times people, they're waiting on God, but God is waiting on us. He's waiting on you and I to come into line with his way of thinking, which is higher than our way of thinking, which is better for us. Amen? Which brings benefits to us. God's word shows us the thoughts of God. God's word is the thoughts of God. It's like God spoke them. It's just like God took Pastor Ed and every thought he ever thought, every belief he ever had, you know, and he wrote it down in a book. Well, these are God's thoughts, and he wants us to take on his thoughts. Amen? So God's word shows us the thoughts of God. It is his thoughts, and he shows us how to think. And the more we think, catch this, the more we think in line with him, the more we cooperate with him. The less we think in line with him, the less we can receive of what he's made ours. The less, and so many people are not disciplined in their thought life. What does a disciplined thought life look like? A disciplined thought life is putting God's thoughts on the inside concerning his will and his plan, putting that in our heart. If God says it's his will to heal, getting those thoughts on the inside of us. And then when something comes against us, or, you know, it looks like we're in sickness or disease or fear comes, we've got God's thoughts inside of us. And we have to discipline ourselves. There's a discipline that takes place. I got a scripture for that. That we have to discipline our thought life to think like God, or when fear comes, or when just so many different areas that things can happen. It's important that we think like him, because then we can receive what he has for us. So it's important to take control of our thoughts and discipline our thoughts and say no. And a lot of ways that you can do that is when the thought comes, answer it out loud. When the thought comes and says, uh-oh, maybe you have a sore throat. Uh-oh, you got strep throat. No, I don't, devil. By his stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. But most of us say, oh, I think I got strep throat. I think I need to go to the doctors. You know what I mean? It's the first thing. And God's not mad at you. He's not upset. Faith pleases God. But God's not, you know, up there saying, hey, you know, why are you saying that? He's not mad, but he's just trying to get us to walk in his promises. Amen? So we need to come into his way of thinking, to take on his higher way of thinking, like it says here in Isaiah. And so as we think right, then we can receive all that he's already made for us. Amen? All the things that he's already made for us. The King James translation says in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God," I'll be reading this a few times through here because I want to deal with the sound mind. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." Notice this, that God is not dealing with any of his children on the basis of fear. You need to get this. God has not given us a spirit of fear. If it brings fear into your life, God has nothing to do with it. God is not promoting that. God is not dealing with you or speaking to you if it brings fear. There's a reverential fear of God. That's a little bit different. But if it's bringing fear, fear of failing, fear of dying, fear of, not having enough, fear concerning our children, all kinds of things. If it brings fear into your life, that has nothing to do with that. God is not promoting that. Sometimes people will have a fearful thought and they'll think, well, maybe that's God speaking to me. No, he's not speaking to you on the basis of fear. God is love. And perfect love casts out what? Fear. Amen? God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is not God's servant. And he doesn't use the spirit of fear. Notice, fear is a spirit. It is not simply a feeling. It's not simply an emotion, but it is a spirit. That's what the Bible says. Now, don't misunderstand me. Fear can produce a feeling. Fear will enhance an emotion, but fear is a spirit. And I want you to catch that tonight. And honestly, in today's society, we have so many people. And it's a tragic situation. They're self-medicated just to function. They're going to doctors. They're getting all kinds of prescriptions. They need help to cope with daily life. Well, you know what? We're not called to cope with daily life. We're called to walk in victory. We don't just cope with fear and keep it under. We're called to run it out. We're called to get rid of fear. We're called not just to cope, but to be an overcomer and to walk in victory in this life. And we see so many things going on, and then you got to be careful because you can catch. I call them, I don't know what else to call them, but you can catch thought diseases from other people. You watch the news long enough, you start thinking like the news. I get one, like if I get an alert, I said, tell Pastor, I don't want to watch it. It just brings, you watch the news, it brings hopelessness. My news is the good news. It's the word of God, and that's where we need to be in, amen? So God offers us his word that brings us into a sound mind. And as we grow in the word, we become skillful with applying the word regarding our thought life. Then we can walk free from the things that are troubling us in the thought life. See, we need to become skillful in the word. Pay attention to what we're doing. Not just, the talk about this, the scripture in Proverbs chapter 4, it talks about giving attention to the word, being skillful. You know, maybe you're not skillful in everything, but start with one thing at a time. If fear is plaguing you in some area, get a hold of the word of God. God has a higher way of thinking. God's word is alive and full of power. And begin to be skillful and put the word of God to work in your life. If you need the favor of God to be working in your life, if you need prosperity to be working in your life, whatever it is, the word of God has the promises for it, amen? But we have to work the word of God. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food." And I just want to stop here for a minute. None of us have attained. Not Pastor, not me. We're all working on this. Amen? We're all working to become more skillful in the word, more disciplined in the word. But the reason why I'm talking about this tonight is one reason is I felt led. The other reason is it's important that we become skillful in the word because we want the word of God to work in our life, right? Amen? It says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use, say use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, we want to become strong in the Lord. So we have to exercise our senses. We have to exercise ourselves in the Word of God. It says, the Apostle Paul said, everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled. You know, somebody that partakes of milk is somebody that just kind of, you know, comes to church every week, and I went to church, and that's good, and I heard good, but goes home and does nothing with the Word of God. And they're fighting demons, they're fighting thoughts, they're fighting, you know, fear, they're fighting, you know, unforgiveness, they're fighting envy and jealousy, they're fighting all kinds of things because they become unskilled, they're not exercising the Word of God. And it's so important for us to be in a place of a sound mind that we learn to be skillful in the Word of God, amen? Is Ezra chapter 7, verse 6 says this, Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses. He was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses. You say, well, Pastor, you just pastors and ministers and people that go to theological seminary are, you know, they're the ones. No, this word is for everybody. How much do you want of the word? How much do you want to see it operate in your life? How much victory do you want to see? How many times are you fighting fear? How many times are you your mind doesn't feel like it's clarity or it's memorizing or it's doing the things that it needs to do? Amen. As Christians, thoughts are going to come because you're a Christian. It doesn't mean that the devil is going to leave you alone. Now, you've heard there's books out there, the battlefield of the mind. That's really where the battle is. It is in the mind. And if we can discipline our mind and become skillful in the Word of God in our mind, we'll take care of a lot of those. We'll have a lot of victories and not defeats. Amen? We'll take care of some of those things. Amen? You know, because the thought life is basically, it's Satan's arena. He's the one. He doesn't know whether you receive his thought or not. He comes and says, well, you know, that pain you've had for the last 3 days, you know, I think you're going to have surgery or whatever. You have a kidney stone or that headache, you better watch out, you know, you might have an aneurysm or I don't know. He the devil just brings, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? He just brings things and brings battles towards you about your family, your home, whatever, the country, things like that. But you know what? We have to learn to become skillful and answer those things. But if we don't know the Word of God, if we don't know God's thoughts, how can we answer those thoughts that come into our mind? Amen? So it's you have to be proactive with the Word of God. Amen? And the devil, he's going to launch all kinds of attacks in the thought life. And you know what? When we're moving ahead and we're claiming the promises of God, whatever we're doing in life, he's going to be there to resist. But you know what? He can't win as long as you hold on to the Word and speak it and answer it and open your mouth with it. Amen? 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. I want you to know it's talking about the mind here. It's talking about your thought life. Sometimes we get strongholds in our mind. Even if you've been in church for years, there's religious strongholds or there's, you know, worldly strongholds, whatever. There's strongholds, and they have to be taken down. And the only thing that's going to take them down is the Word of God. Look at this. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Wow, that's a discipline. That's a real discipline of the mind, wouldn't you say? That's a skill we need to work on. Is that not right? bringing every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. But what are you going to bring it into captivity to? If you're fighting a battle with fear, okay, I'm afraid, if you don't know that God has not given you a spirit of fear, if you don't know that oppression is far from you, if you don't know these things, then how can you bring it into captivity? Amen? So you've got to know the Word of God, and you bring those thoughts into captivity. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Let me read this in the New Living Translation. "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is." You've got to see, God wants to transform us. I wish that when I was born again, the day I was saved, I wish that day I was just magically, I don't smoke anymore, I don't do drugs anymore, I don't swear anymore, I don't do anything bad. But it doesn't happen like that. It says right here, it says, "Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." Or the King James says, "by renewing your mind." You got to change the way this works. This is thinking, because it'll just keep you going down the same path, and you'll keep going around in cycles over and over again, and you'll wonder why? Why don't I ever have a breakthrough? Why don't I ever break out on this? Why is this coming back again? You know what I'm saying? And so the only way to attack, see, if you're saying that, that's you're getting what you're saying. Amen? You got to renew your mind. The renewed mind will know how to respond to wrong thoughts. You'll just know. You'll just know. And it's a walk of life. It's a way of life. When you go to school, when you as a child, you wake up and you go to school and you're renewing your mind. You learn that one and one is two. And you said that over and over and over and over again. And you knew the times tables and the division. And you because it was repetitive. Well, you know what? That's what we have to do with the Word of God. And sometimes I know a lot of people say, "Where do I start? There's just so many things." Well, what is your biggest obstacle? What area do you need to work on? Amen. I mean, just it doesn't matter. All things are possible to them that believe. If you take the Word of God and put it in your heart, in your mind, and change and once you put the Word in it, you're not transforming your mind. God's transforming it. You're renewing it. You're putting the Word in it, but He's transforming it. Amen? Hallelujah. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He goes on to tell us that what He has given us is He's given us the spirit of power. He's given us a spirit of love and a sound mind. But we have to learn to walk with a sound mind by faith. You have to exercise your faith to have a sound mind. Amen? And why is that? Because the enemy is going to bring thoughts all of the time. Now, you can either receive those thoughts. If the devil brings you a thought today and says, "Look at you, you ugly thing, you just look bad," or whatever, your hair is ugly, your eyeballs are ugly, whatever. You can look at the devil and say, "I'm a wonderful work of God. I've been created in the image of God, Satan. And if you're calling me ugly, you're calling God ugly. Because I'm God's child." I mean, you can just, there are so many crazy thoughts that come in our mind. Am I telling the truth? Amen? So it says here, Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said, "Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear." And we know this, that Paul was helping Timothy. Timothy, a precious man of God, he traveled, he was an assistant of Paul. And he had to deal with the spirit of fear. And Paul is teaching him. And fear comes in so many ways. And it's so subtle. But we got to remember, it's a spirit. You may be getting on a plane. I mean, I've shared so many times my claustrophobic thing that happened when I got pregnant with my son. Slowly but surely, couldn't get into elevators, didn't even want to wear a seatbelt. And I'm telling you, if you've ever felt the spirit of fear, you know what it feels. I felt it. I would even try to, in my own strength, oh, I'm just going to get in the elevator. And the minute I would try to step a foot in there, I would think, I can't breathe. I'm going to die. And, you know, and then if I ever did and I had to get in an elevator and go up 15 floors or something, and I have walked up 15 flights of stairs because I wouldn't go in, that's what fear will do. It'll control your life. And I remember, you know, just thinking, I need like 5 bottles of water just in case, and maybe some snacks, and maybe that'll help me, you know. Just all these stupid, ridiculous thoughts. All right, I'll get in the elevator if I have a big bag of chips and a bottle of water or something, and I just don't think about it or something. Just ridiculous. Controlling so many, that's just one little stupid thing, but just so many big things. And fear will just, you know, or fear, you know, going for an interview. Oh, I just know they're not going to hire me. Well, why even go? You know, why even go? And so, you know, I had to learn. I would confess that scripture. And here I was, you know, I'm a pastor's wife. I'm preaching faith. And man, you know, But you know what? I just stayed with it. You got to stay with it. You got to keep renewing your mind. You got to keep feeding. And then one day it was like, it was just like the light went on. See, one day the light will go on if you keep the word of God, you keep speaking it. You may not be able, maybe you have anxiety. Maybe you have panic attacks. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're even on some medication. But you know what? You start with your faith and feeding your faith. Don't just take God's not mad that you're taking medication. Don't just throw it out the window, but start feeding your faith. And that one day, I remember I got so mad. It's just like I had the revelation that the devil had lied to me all those years. Stupid stuff. And I even felt guilty because I was a pastor's wife preaching faith. And so I'd feel guilty. I'm preaching faith and I can't even get in an elevator, you know. And my family would pick on me and they'd laugh and they'd joke. But it was just, you know. You know, Donna would say, she'd say, come on, Mom. And I'd be like, no, you go. I'll go up the stairs. But I kept, and that one day, and then so I started, I said, it was just like he lied to me. The devil, fear is it's a lie. He's a liar. It's a spirit. And so anyhow, I got so set free, and then gradually I just kept those scriptures going in. I didn't stop saying them. I still say those scriptures today. And then I remember one day I went in the elevator, and I was going in the elevator, because the devil will still fight you. He'll still bring the temptation. He'll still say you're going to die, or you're not going to make it, or you're going to lose your business. He'll tell you all kinds of things. And I kept saying it. And then one day I was getting in the elevator, and one of those thoughts came, you know, like the devil was coming at me, and then the spirit rose up again, and the scripture rose up in me that I will never leave you or forsake you. And I thought, God said he'll never leave me. He's coming in the elevator with me. My angels are in the elevator with me. But I'm telling you, you ask my husband, I had to stay with stuff. I had to stay with the word. It just didn't, you know. I just didn't come because, I'm going to just psych myself out. I'm not afraid. You know? Now I'm getting ready to go on roller coasters. I mean, seriously, I would freak. I could tell you some stories. Anyhow, we'll stop there. Let's go on. Let me see, where was I? So many people, they're dealing with depression, oppression, panic attacks, and so forth, and they come from the enemy. It's not from God. And the thing is you can't accept it. Don't just accept things. Just because it comes to your mind, it doesn't mean it's from your mind. See, that's a big key for people to understand, because so much of the time they think because a fearful thought comes that it came from their mind. But it's a spirit. It is a spirit of fear. And I want you to know that God has given you, he's given me a sound mind. Amen? Thoughts of fear do not belong there. And it did. And I'm telling you, fear does not come out of a sound mind. Fear comes from the enemy. and God has given us a sound mind. Amen? It comes from an outside source. Hallelujah. So, let's look at, okay, 2 Timothy 2:15 for a second. So we have to become skillful with the word. We have to work on our thoughts and not just let them run us, but become disciplined in our thoughts, become skillful. You know, it's we can learn a lot. We can learn, we can go to school, we can go to college, we can go to Bible college, we can come to church. But unless we work on it, on that skill, unless we discipline our mind, and I'm telling you, it might not take care of everything, but becoming skillful in your thoughts and putting the thoughts of God in there and disciplining your thoughts, it'll change a lot of things in your life. Amen? 2 Timothy, you're quiet tonight. I need my gang back here. I need Sister Pastor Laurie. She'll amen me us no matter what, all of us. You know, I've seen her fall. I've seen her sometimes fall half asleep, and she'll be like, amen! Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's important. It's really important that you study to show yourself approved, and not only, and discipline your mind and work on your thoughts. Amen? You know, somebody, you know, was asking, you know, Pastor Judy, should I withhold my medication? You know, because it's, the world is right now rampant. Almost everybody you talk to, and honestly, they need it. They have these, they can't live without it. They have these panic attacks, or they're depressed, or almost, I can't tell you. And you just go ahead and look up at the statistics, you know. And like I said before, you just don't go throwing it away. But I want to say this, it's faith that pleases God. You can withhold medication and not use your faith and not be pleasing to God. Do you get that? Don't think just because you withhold your medication, you're pleasing to God. See, faith pleases God. You start putting the word of God, and you'll know when that it's time for that medication to be no more. Hallelujah. So he will direct you. He'll redirect you in everything that regards you, the things that you need to do. But the first step is you got to start feeding your faith. Use your faith instead of yielding to fear, instead of yielding to these panic attacks or anxiety. The scripture talks about be not anxious about anything, but through prayer and supplication, bring your request to God. Declare, I am not an anxious person. I'm not anxious about anything, but through prayer and supplication, I bring my request to God. Amen? Now, I want to close with this. I just want to share this with this story about, you guys all know this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and King Nebuchadnezzar. And, they had gathered all the leaders, and King Nebuchadnezzar had this big statue, and he said everybody had to bow to that statue, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I hope I'm saying it right, my mouth is cotton mouth right now, but they would not bow, and I can bet that they felt fear. There's been times where we've taken steps of faith. I was thinking about this earlier today. I remember when we bought that first church building in Abington, and even though on the phone I said the money will be there, fear was just standing right there at the door. And I had to make a choice. I was going to believe God or just shrink into fear. I remember when we came over here, and the heavens, I felt like the heavens opened over in Norwell. And we were making the decision. I remember fear at my doorstep every day. When you're going from $3,000 a month to $13,000 a month with no utilities included, now it's a lot more than that. fear has a way of creeping up. But we'll never increase by faith if we don't just take those steps of faith. Amen? Fear will be there no matter, even if you're the strongest Christian, it's going to be there knocking at your door. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were strong men of God. They were educated young men. And they said, everybody in the land has to bow. But they said, I don't care what you do, we're not going to bow. And our God will deliver us. They had faith in God. Their mind was renewed. They knew that God would show up. Amen? And they didn't care. Even if God didn't show up, they were not going to bow to that God. And the coolest thing about that, I love the validity of this whole thing, is that, you know, people try to make up stories, well, the fire wasn't that hot or whatever. Well, you know, it destroyed all of those military guys that was all of the guys that were throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ended up burning up. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't have one hair singed. And Jesus, you know, Nebuchadnezzar saw Jesus in the fire with them. Amen? And so that, but sometimes you have to stand when the fire is looking at you in the face. Sometimes you have to stand against. You have to stand against the fear. You have to stand against what everybody's saying. You have to stand up for the things of God. And honestly, this world is not, it's crazy right now. And a lot of, honestly, you know, a lot of, like, people back down because they don't want to, they're afraid to say, you know, that they believe a certain way. Well, what if they start at really attacking the churches? I mean, you go into other countries, And they're just, you know, they have to stand up for Jesus. You need to take, see, when we don't have, when we take authority over that spirit of fear, because I always wonder, I say, God, what was it? I remember hearing a story of a in North Korea, a family was being buried alive, and all they had to do was deny Jesus. Family of missionaries. Now all they had to do was deny Jesus. And the kids were crying, and the wife was crying, and they were starting to bury them alive, and it looked like the kids were going to say something, like, you know, like to deny Jesus, and the dad started singing Amazing Grace. And the whole family sang Amazing Grace, and they were buried alive. And the thing was, is if you have a spirit of fear on you, you just may bow your, if you yield to the spirit of fear, you just may bow your knee to the enemy. I don't know how I get over on this. This wasn't in my notes. But that's what the devil will use, you know? You have not anything that has to do with fear. Fear is not God's servant. And if there's fear attacking you in any way, shape, or form, you need to find the scriptures that counterattack that. Amen? Because God has not given you a spirit of fear. You know, if your mind is constantly being attacked, that's not from God. You know, a lot of people say this, and a worship team can come, they say, I wonder what God's doing. I wonder why he can't help me, you know. Well, the Bible says that we are the ones that have to renew our minds. And we become transformed. And faith comes in us. And faith pleases God. And when we're in faith, that's when the angels are moving. That's when God is moving. Faith out there. Amen? And so I just encourage you, you know, become skillful in the word. Attack those fearful thoughts that come at you, whatever they may be. You know, a lot of people, well, my marriage, I'm afraid my marriage is not going to work. No. Don't even say those things. You know? Because the devil will just get you to the place where you don't want your marriage to work. Because that's how the world is, you know? And so I'm going to have the worship team come, but I really felt to preach this tonight, and I felt like there are people here, you're really battling some things in your mind. The devil's just badgering you with things. And it may be a specific thing. I don't know what it is. It's just fearful or just comes at you, or you're waking up at night or... You know, and I just believe that I want to pray with you tonight. And I believe if you'll take the word of God and begin to attack that thing, if you don't know a scripture that attacks it, ask us. We'll help you with it, you know. God is, you know, maybe he's telling you you're going to die soon. Or maybe he's using something concerning your children. Or maybe it's, I don't know what it is, but... I just really, there's very few messages, and that's why I kind of came out choppy, because, When the Holy Spirit gives something, it's a little different. You know, I like to teach line upon line, but, you know. And I just believe some of you are fearing that maybe something's not going to happen that should happen. Well, I want to pray for you tonight. So let's just have the worship team up and turn the house lights down a little. I want you to